This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello there, people of the world, where computers, TVs, and other such things that play podcasts and the like. I'm your autistic guy, and sitting next to me is, you introduce yourself.
I'm the good old Scarface himself, the Somali John. Wagwa bitches!
Wagwa bitches?
Just say it already. I know you want to say wag too. Just fucking say it already.
I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to say it. I'll say it when I want to say it.
What, you're going to say it in the middle of the episode?
Maybe the next one.
Okay.
Anyway, before we go on to today's topic, we've got to make an acknowledgement.
We do, don't we?
Yeah, we lost one of the most loved comedians in the UK. We lost Sean Locke.
Yeah.
The legend.
The myth.
The drunk. The smoker.
Yeah. One of the best British comics on the circuit for a very long time.
Yeah. He died at 58 of cancer.
Yeah.
And you know what? There is one upside in all this. At least it wasn't the Kung Flu.
Oh no, I'm glad about that. Yeah. Absolutely, because I can't imagine what it'd be like for his family if they couldn't even say goodbye to him.
I mean, I'm going to go into it properly in another episode, but I only know what that's like.
Yeah.
I mean, he went at 58. My mum died at 57. From COVID, it's a horrible experience. I'll go into it properly in another episode. But I just want to say this: you will never know what it's like until you can't hug your own mother again. There's just not being there, and then there's that sort of warm, what's the word? Warm glow.
Yeah,
you get from hugging a parent or something like that. It kills you. It does get to a point where it damn near kills you, and it's very not very unpleasant. But anyway, it's not about me. I'm just explaining for the sake of brevity. But
I mean,
about Sean, not me.
Yeah. But the thing about Sean is, I think the best thing we can say about him is, when it comes to him as a comic, he really was the last of a dying breed.
Yes. I mean, he was very much a Tommy Cooper.
In a sense,
That it's not just what he did. It will always be... he was a Ronnie Corbett. He was one of the two... I'll use the two Ronnies.
Yeah, Ronnie Corbett, Ronnie Barker, yeah.
No matter... It's not about just what they did. It's about what they've left behind.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the fact that they've made so many people smile. Like when you and I, the way we're young comics on the come up, like we want
on
to
rise,
have that one day.
I think the correct terminology is on the rise.
On the rise.
On the come up isn't really like I've never heard anyone say on the come up.
Oh, I've heard a lot of people.
I've heard people say like if you've had a lot to drink, I would say that is on the come up.
Really? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that phrase.
No, it's up and coming, not on the come up.
I've heard that. I've actually heard on the come up many times.
No. That is on the come up.
Ah, but no.
I'm not going to tell you what I just did, but I'm going to assume you can guess.
Yeah.
Come up. Anyway.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Anyway, sorry, please continue.
No, but it's exactly that, though. It's just, he made so many people smile. It's like, when you look at us two as young up-and-coming comics, we want to look at someone like that and go, you know what? That's what you want to do. Because the best part about him was, and I know this shouldn't be a novelty, but it is, he was funny.
In this day and age, yeah. You don't get funny comedians anymore.
No, anymore.
I'm not saying that to like big us up. Like we do try, but yeah. With the current climate of comedy, it is very hard to make actual jokes.
Yeah,
it really is. Like most jokes now, I mean to the point where fucking Dave gave Nishki Kumar's cunting mash reporter go again. I mean, I'm not sorry. I'm going to go on to that another time. I'm sorry. I'm not detracting. I'm not going to detract because this is important. But to Sean's family, to his friends, and to the comedy world, I know it's audio, but I'm going to do it anyway. I salute you. And Somali Jones just done it as well.
Yeah.
Unbelievably, he's just saluted as well.
Yeah,
unbelievably, like it's not it's wrong.
But on this, you know, even though it's like when you talk to someone on the phone and it's like you're pointing your finger, but in this case, it's like, you know what, do it anyway.
He deserves it.
Yeah,
it's like a thing. Whenever you watch Doctor Who and somebody speaks to him, they still salute. Like yeah. you know, when you talk to a member of UNIS and he always just turns around and goes, "Did you just salute me?"
Yeah,
that sort of thing, but.
Anyway,
he will be missed. And if you can, we implore you to look up any of his videos or anything that he did.
Yeah, I mean,
because it is good stuff. Like the best one I'm going to recommend is the Tiger Who Came for a Pint.
Yeah.
Got any recommendations?
I mean, I would say for him in general.
Although having said that, it would be good if he read a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Like a CBeebies bedtime story.
I was just about to say that. I mean, yeah, that would have been really cool to see.
But
him traumatizing children worse than the Teletubbies did with that tiger episode.
Oh, God. Anyway,
the lion,
we'll go into that another time. I mean, bear in mind, they've had Dolly Parton and Deadpool do it. So, you know.
Yeah. Why not?
By the way, but when I say Deadpool, I mean halfway across the world for your webcam.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Anyway, sorry, please continue. And you've got any recommendations for a thing?
I mean, for sure, Rock. I probably would have said. I remember there was an episode he did on 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, where it was. I'm trying to remember the gag. It was one of those running gags where he kept it going. It wasn't even what he said.
Oh, it's one of those things where it came up later on as well.
Yeah, but it's like he kept it. Like I'm trying to remember. So like it was a while ago, but it was the way he did it though. He just kept it going. Right, almost the entire episode to the point where
it almost broke.
Yeah, like Jimmy Carr couldn't do his job. If I could remember the name of that episode, I would actually tell people.
The thing is, though, every time Sean said something, you back off, and it's nice to know that Jimmy has done that as well as just sort of learned to, you know, leave him to it.
Yeah,
because the thing is, there are times where Jimmy will jump in on other comedians.
Yeah, but he won't do it to Sean.
And I'm happy he's got that status.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in an ego sense. I mean that he's been like, because some comics, they will jump in and stop you doing your thing if they don't like it or something like that. They will get very antsy. With Sean, like, he's been allowed to express, shall I say, he's been allowed to do his thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the very few comedians wherever what side of the pond you're on. He was one of the last few that could basically
say or do anything.
Yeah. I mean, you have him, you have Jimmy Carr here in the UK.
He made jokes about cloning Nazis.
Yeah.
On Channel 4. I remember this is Channel 4. Bear in mind, that's Channel 4 and the BBC, two of the wokest TV channels in the country.
Yeah.
And when I say wokest, I mean, not just the wokest, they are very bad with their shows.
Yeah.
To the point where they take Caster's Countdown, right? They had a formula. It worked. It was meant to be a one-off, and then it sort of continued.
Yeah.
And they, let's say, beat it into submission. When I say beat, I don't mean just beat it. They bashed it with a baseball bat and raped it into submission. Yeah. And I'm not begrudging who was on it. I'm not talking about the guests. I'm talking about the fact that it should have been done in small doses. So it was so it was still fresh.
Yeah.
And it was just, it got way too, you know. But anyway, but yeah, it was one of the things. But anyway, on to today's topic, which is
Afghanistan.
Yes, the recent retake over of Afghanistan after everybody, well, what would you say, walked off or fucked off?
I would say, considering the circumstances, I think fucked off is probably the most appropriate.
Yeah, after all things considered.
I mean, before we do, I will say this. I definitely have my own opinion on it, but I'm actually very curious to know where you stand on it. So I'm going to give you a chance to actually lay all your cards on the table, because I'm...
Okay, I stand on it is this. I look at it from two sides. One, apparently, from what I understand, they just let them take over anyway. Like, they wanted them.
No.
So, like, that's more so... Right, like, or at least it was a peaceful takeover.
Wasn't. The Prime Minister fled the country.
I mean peaceful as in... What I mean by peaceful is there wasn't much resistance.
No, there was a lot of resistance. It's just they were scared shitless.
Okay, so the news... Okay, so I'm hearing things were different. I'm hearing... Okay, so all the news is basically lied again, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I was hearing different things from different places, and the consensus was very little resistance. Second,
right,
you know this is going to be a breeding ground for terrorism. You know it.
Why do you think so many people are trying to flee Afghanistan right now? Because they know what's coming.
On that subject, just what you're talking about, there have been horrific videos of people clinging onto the sides of planes.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one, if you go onto, I think it's the Sun. Yeah, the Sun.
We were watching it before we recorded the episode.
It just came up on my phone. There was a video of two people basically clinging onto a plane. And I don't know how to put this in a nice way, so I'm going to say it anyway. They fell off, they flew off, unfortunately fell to their deaths. And
they died trying to escape.
Yeah. Look, my thing here is, I think, you know, at some point we're going to get to Afghanistan round two. You know, at some point, they said, oh, when they're going to go back in. At some point, they're going to go back in, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It's like being a parent saying, I will never buy you this thing, and then after a kid are kicking and screaming, you end up doing it.
It's one of those things when you look at the Afghanistan situation. On one hand, people will have their criticisms on it in terms of, oh, they just want to take the oil. Oh, you know, they've been past where soldiers have actually basically set a raid to the citizens and killed them unnecessarily. But then, when they've actually gone, the Taliban taking over has been the thing that they dread. So it's kind of like, which thing would you prefer? Would you rather prefer getting occasionally British, American, Australian soldiers take over to your citizens, but make sure the Taliban don't take over? Or do you have the Taliban take over and have it be open season? That's kind of what I've seen from it.
And this is the problem. Yeah. No one really knows where it's going to stand.
It's like which is the worst of two evils. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, the other thing as well is, I remember there was a thing that came out about us having to apparently resettle something like 20,000.
Yeah.
No, something like that. Now, yes, there are going to be genuine refugees in there, but you know as well as I do, there are going to be... My heart goes out to the people who are going to get hurt, but at the same time... We had this with ISIS. We're not doing this again.
Okay.
I'm just saying, look, we had it with ISIS. It's going to be all middle-aged men, and there's going to be at least a few terrorists.
Here's what's
going to
happen, but let me finish.
No,
before you do, I'm saying, I'm going to let you speak the whole way through. I'm not going to interrupt. The only thing I'm going to say is, I want you to say the whole thing that you feel, and then when it's all done, I'm going to respond to everything that you've said.
Fine.
I'm just saying that so...
No, fine.
Because...
No, fine, but I will acknowledge what...
Yeah.
We had this with ISIS. And when ISIS happened, they said, oh, we've got to take them in, even though they came across 10 fucking safe countries to do it. Which makes them not refugees, it makes them illegal migrants. We will be in the same situation again here. And when we get to that point, They need to be in the middle of Europe, and they'll come over. They'll cross over on a dinghy or something like that. They'll be middle-aged men. Some will be terrorists. We know there's going to be terrorists, because it's going to become a terrorist breeding ground, as it was last time. And we'll go, and they'll sit there and go, well, we've, and then everybody will sit there and go, well, they're refugees. They're not, if they've been flown, again, being a refugee does not mean being a refugee wherever you want. You're a refugee in the first safe country you get to. If you leave that, you are then a migrant. If you go into a country illegally, it makes you then an illegal migrant. Now, again, when they come over, you can attest to this. When all the, what's it called? Oh yeah, criminals came over here. They got 5-star hotels, 3 square meals a day, and food. Oh, and a mobile phone. Right? Am I wrong?
We had this same conversation before, you know.
No, I'm just making the point. I just want to make the point, because they may not have listened. They may not have heard that. They may not have heard that episode. I just want to make the point.
No, but I'm not saying that to the listeners. I'm saying that to you.
I can't remember what was said. I'm not sure because I really can't remember.
No, but
I'm not. Let me. Oh no, you were asking me a question.
No, I'm
just saying. Would you attest that we have given them 5-star hotels?
I mean, yeah, we have.
This is my problem. Like,
but here's the thing, though.
We gave them the fucking army barracks and they burnt the fucker down. Now, it's good enough for the army. Oh, it's not good enough for the criminals. We have to give the criminals them because they came from a... They're apparently...
Josh, I was going to sit there and just let you speak, but the thing is you asked me a question.
No, it's fine. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I want to at least answer the question.
Oh, no, it's fine. Sorry. No, it's fine. I went to let you
speak. I was going to sit there and just let you... No, it's fine.
Finish
but because you asked me, I have to answer the question you asked.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. That's me.
No.
Yeah, it's fine. Me going over it. It's fine. But, and then once you answer, I'll carry on.
I mean, first of all, obviously, I don't agree with a situation when in a pandemic that we have people coming from far and wide jumping up when our borders and our airports should have been closed during a pandemic.
They should have been closed immediately.
No, but you have to consider this thing now. And this is, I remember I said this to you before in a recent episode, where this is just me speaking to you as a personal point, not as
anything else,
where I say, I'm not saying that you can't call out what it is, because let's be honest, if you're going to go over the border a little bit, it is illegal. We can't ignore that, we can't pretend. But the thing with you is, you come at it with such a goddamn energy sometimes. I've seen
because
you
talk, I believe no, but
I've seen you come at it the same way you would we've talked about murderers and pedophiles, and you talk about that same energy, and I'm like, it doesn't deserve that. Like, you can give it some energy, but don't give it that. Like, you do you get what I'm saying? It's not the same thing.
It's still illegal.
It's still illegal.
I believe, because it might be legal to, I don't know. No, but I've always believed in the rule of law.
Yes.
But, because the thing is, if we're going to sit there you can break this law. What about when they bring... we've seen this happen before in Germany. What about when they bring their ideology over and, I don't know, rape women? Or they murder people like they have done in Poland? Or, I don't know, have a no-go zone like there is in Poland because of their bloody ideology. Not ideology. Yeah. Their not just ideology. What's it called? The mixed-up society. I forget the word, but it's not an ideology, it's
but
culture.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. I could count, if I wanted to, I could counteract that argument by saying that Catholicism is a culture of paedophilia. I could say that.
This is very well done.
Because it's true. Like, listen, how many paedophiles realistically look like me? Like, let's be real.
Say that. I'll say that again. I'm sorry, you went too fast. Say that again.
No, I'm saying, if we're going to be objective like this and talk about that, if I want to, I could talk about how Catholicism is a culture and religion of paedophilia. I could say that.
I can't disagree with that. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying to you. Like,
what I'm saying is, when they have come over, there have been next to no... Okay, I'm saying in a grand scheme of things, I'm not saying there haven't been any. There have been next to no women or children. Every single time you've seen it in a photo op, they've been standing there waiting.
I'm not saying that's not
and every
true.
Single time. No, every single time they turn around and go, oh, it's the women, it's the children, they're never there.
That's not always true.
I mean, it's at the point, I mean, we're at a point where Priti Patel put a fucking she put an embargo on them being able to people being able to record from the bloody pavement because of it, because she knows.
But Josh, I'm saying that's not always true though. Like, it's not. And this is what I'm trying to say to you as a friend.
Okay, Ahmed, yeah, okay, go on.
It is, you can call out something and state the obvious. I'm the type of guy where I come on for the most part and I try to state the obvious. With you, you come up with such energy, I don't think it deserves that, because it's, like, every single crime is, you can call it a crime if you want, but...
There are crimes... Look, there are
yeah,
crime,
but
there
there's
are
different
crime.
Levels of
yes,
crime.
Yes, I know,
though.
But then this is a high level of crime. If you run into a country illegally, what if that person okay. was a? What if that person was a part of? A, what if that person was a? What if that person was a murderer? So what? We're just going to sit there and say, well, they just invaded.
But you don't know
across,
that, though.
No, they just crossed the border.
But you don't know that.
I don't have to know that.
Yes,
I don't care. They broke the law.
Yes, they broke the law. But you could just say they broke the law. You don't have to go. That much. Did you get what I'm trying to say here? It's context.
No, the context is they didn't do, look, if you're good, right, I've said this once, I'll say it once, I'll say it again, the bloody Paris thing. The bloody, not Paris,
That's
no,
what I'm
the
saying.
Calais jungle. What you do is you go and do the fucking, you do the paperwork in Calais. If they say yes, you come on a boat here. They have ferries. If not, you fuck off and do it again, or you deal with it. You're not going to come here illegally. We haven't got the space. We haven't got the space. We haven't got the money as it is, and we are not going to take any more criminals.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. What you're doing about it is, and this is what I'm trying to say, though. You can say all the things you want about me, sometimes about left wing propaganda. Some of the stuff you say, you have to admit, is proper right wing propaganda. Assuming that every single person down here is a murderer or a rapist.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Most of them.
No. I didn't say they are murderers or rapists.
No. I said most.
I didn't say most. I said what if.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, no.
you can't assume that. Okay, so they're coming from an ISIS hotspot. We know there are several.
Yes, but how do you know they're not a person who's affected by ISIS? Rather than that, it's like, come on.
So we have to risk it. Have another Manchester attack, do we?
I'm not saying this is the left wing look. What you're doing is proof of the right wing shit.
No,
though.
I know, but this is just. I'm just saying this is my.
I'm trying to level it out.
I agree. But this is the way the left look at it is. Oh, they say they've been oppressed. They must have been oppressed. Oh, they blew up Manchester. Oh, it must be oppression. Who oppressed them? The white man. No. What did the white man do? Absolutely nothing at all. But the white man existed. Oh no, slavery. Do you see the stupidity?
No, but I know what you mean. But I'm not talking in a sense of a general thing. I'm talking you specifically right now.
Okay, that wasn't made very clear. Okay, sorry. Okay.
I'm not talking in general.
No, I didn't. That wasn't.
If we're talking in general, I'm talking you specifically.
No, okay, that wasn't. I didn't pick up. Sorry, I didn't pick up on that.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm talking you specifically.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I'm like, if this was visual, then I would come at this a little bit differently because at least people could judge it off of context. But because we're doing audio, that's why I'm having to make that clear right off the bat.
I didn't pick up that you meant me. Sorry.
Did you get what I'm trying to
say?
No,
I didn't. To an extent. I just didn't realize you were talking about me specifically.
I wasn't talking in general. I was talking you specifically.
No, I know. And I'm saying that's the order to play up. I didn't pick up on that.
And I'm like, sometimes you have to consider the fact that context. You say to me yourself sometimes context does matter.
Context matters, but the point is where they are coming from. Their culture is not compatible with ours. We know what's going to happen when they come over. We've had several situations.
To be fair, though, I would say you can make an argument that Catholicism is not compatible either, and it's just as homophobic as Islam.
I agree. I will agree.
They've had terrorist issues in the past with the IRA.
I don't disagree.
And on top of that, if we're being honest, they've had issues with paedophilia. I don't think any of those things are compatible, but here's the thing, though.
But here's the difference. Right, yeah. The big difference is with Catholics, at least they want to integrate. I've not seen any, let's say the last 20, 30 years. After the IRA.
Really? Can you really say that?
Have you ever seen... Okay.
It's easy, I don't want to be like Mr. Captain Obvious here, but let's be honest, it's easy to want to integrate with people who for the most part look like you.
I'm not talking about looks, I'm talking about...
ideology. No, but I'm saying that in a context where it's easy to want to integrate people who look like... What about people who don't look like you?
Go on, looks.
No, but you know what I'm trying to say.
No,
to you.
I don't go. It looks like a content character.
No. I'm not talking to you. Now we're talking in a general context.
Okay.
I'm not talking you here.
No, okay. Sorry. I'm,
in general.
It's fine. I'm sorry. I was having trouble.
I'm talking in a general.
No, context. I just didn't realize you twitched.
Yeah. I mean, but exactly. But do you understand what I'm trying to say now?
Just for clarity, this is the autism I'm playing up.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up when he was. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, but do you get what I'm trying to say now?
So there are people who are like, there are people who are that stupid. I can't do anything about them.
But I'm just saying, when it comes to you, I mean, do you see what I mean when I say, like with me, if you
I
are,
see what you mean, yeah. But I don't agree with the sentiment.
In which sense? Are we talking about the first bit or the second bit?
Are we talking I don't think that just because somebody rolls up on the border, just somebody rolls up on the beach and says, let me in, to this or that, I don't think you should just let them in.
No, I agree with that notion.
If we're going to go by that logic, I should be able to go over to the States and say to Joe Biden, I want to be able to go to, I should be able to say to Joe Biden, I'm a victim of political correctness, let me in. I'm a political refugee.
To be fair though, I didn't say any of that.
No, but I'm just talking about, I'm not saying,
are we talking me personally or general here?
I'm talking generally, sorry, generally.
Generally, okay, fair enough.
I'm talking, sorry, I should be clearer. Generally speaking,
again, now that's the autism hitting me. Yeah. But go ahead, yeah.
Generally speaking, if we're going to go off that logic, I should be able to go off to America, I should be able to jump on a plane, go there, just go and literally just say, literally at border control, I want help, I'm a political refugee because of political correctness. If we're just saying, if we're going by that logic, you could just go to a country and demand you're a refugee. Think about what's happened. I mean,
yeah,
because of what's happened with political correctness, and I'm going to go into this at some point. I've been on the brink of suicide a few times now because of it all.
Yeah, but
not because of political correctness, but other things. I'll go to it another time. But I'm just saying, if I want to go to the States because of it, because I feel safe there, I should be able to go on a plane, go to the States, and say I'm a political refugee.
You do see the consequence of that though, right?
No, I'm just doing what the criminals are doing in Calais.
No, but you do see what the consequence of that sort of line of thinking is, right?
Do you see how stupid it is, though?
No, but I do see it, but do you also see the consequence of that is?
Because
then you put everyone in that same box and assume, for the most part, that they're all like that. And that's part of the problem.
No, but
let's be honest. You do have that tendency.
I have done before. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying here...
I'm talking in a general context as well.
I'm talking about with ISIS. In this context. I'm talking about with ISIS. The whole ISIS thing. In this context, I think it should be done on a case-by-case basis. I think it should be done all in Calais. It should not be done here. We should not be putting them in five-star hotels. If they decide to cross the whole of Europe and they decide to sleep in tents in the middle of Calais... I don't give a shit. They chose it.
All right. Can I?
I'm just saying. I know from Lawrence Sutherland's thing. They are. And yeah, I know it's Lawrence Sutherland, but still, footage and everything. And these people. And you know, you can tell these people weren't set up or anything. They're genuine people. There are people from ISIS in the camps, murdering them and so on. I feel for them, and I've heard. It's wrong. But they chose to make the journey. And they chose to put themselves in that situation.
Are you talking in a general sense or specifically the Afghanistan situation? Because if it's the Afghanistan situation, I'm going to tell you my counter argument.
I'm talking generally in the ISIS situation. I'm not talking about Afghanistan.
All right, in general. Okay.
I'm not talking about Afghanistan. Yet.
All right.
They put themselves in this situation, and my heart goes out to anyone who gets hurt, murdered, whatever. That's not their fault. But they made the choice. And we shouldn't be rewarding that, rewarding criminality with five-star hotels. Free money and so on, but
I don't. Obviously, just to clarify my stance.
Yes,
I do not agree with giving people 5-star hotels who just got here.
Along with free money, food, and
I mean, and I would say even if you wanted to be the players, that all right, cool. Don't give them 5-star hotels. Like that's the sort of thing you should be giving the homeless first.
No, the veterans.
The veterans, homeless.
Like if Priti Patel turned around and said at the point of. Of everything now, we're going to give the veterans hotels for the remainder we're going to spend all the money we'll spend all that money on veterans having hotels. No one bat an eyelid. Everybody would have been cheering her on. She got a standing ovation.
Yeah,
she got a standing ovation. And I want to say one other thing.
No, but
there was a guy who was just outside my building, and outside the block, and he just near the shopping centre.
Right.
And I was talking to him about what happened during the beginning, and you know what they said COVID help was for him? One night at a hotel. That's all he got. Generally, he was told the COVID help was one night at a hotel.
Right.
Is that not fucking insane?
Yeah.
Yeah, outside. I do see that outside the secret drug. But just that's mental. Yeah. To be told your COVID help is one night at a hotel, and then you got to sleep rough again. I'm not saying there are genuine refugees in it. Of course there are. I'm not saying they're all bad. Like, I'm not.
I only say that because we do an audio, not visuals.
No, I know. I just want to make it clear. I know there are genuine refugees in this, but at the same time,
there we go. That's all I wanted to get out of there. Okay. Just so this whole picture.
Okay, I'm not saying. Okay, fine.
I'm not saying there isn't people out there with bad intentions. But I'm saying we can't assume everyone has those intentions.
But everybody who walks across the border illegally is still a criminal, regardless of being a quote. No, in fact, fuck it. No, once you get to the UK, you're not even a refugee anymore. You're a migrant. Once you've left Germany or Italy, you have walked through. You have chosen to walk through the whole of the. You've chosen to walk through the whole of Europe. That is by definition migration. Migration of their own accord. Therefore, they are a migrant. Therefore, they are economic migrants.
That's not a bad point.
I'm not going to say... Look, if you want to make a better world for yourself, that's fine, but you have to do it legally. I'm not... Everybody who's... I'm going to say this once and once only. If anyone comes on a dinghy, what they should do is they should give the border force guns and knives. They should pop the fuckers in French waters. Once they pop, if the French don't come and get them, they die. I do not care. That's the French's fault. They should not be coming here until they have done the paperwork. Oh. I'm sorry. No, I've had enough of it.
Oh my god.
And it's not based on ideology. It's not because of anything else. It is literally the point that they are here illegally, and I'm sick of them being rewarded for their crimes.
But again, do you see where the problem is that lies with that idea?
I want to make it very clear. I'm not saying to murder the people. The water will do that. I'm talking about popping the boat.
No, but do you see the bigger point I'm trying to make with you here?
But no, because it's
no.
Okay, so what I'm saying, so one of the, well, let's say 1 in 100 is a refugee.
No.
So we have to let out all 100 in because we might get that one person.
Okay.
Who isn't even a refugee.
Oh, come on. Okay, now you're just being minuscule. Get real. Like, come on.
Okay, let's say 10 out of 100. Okay, 10
out of 100. Oh, come on. Fuck off. Come on, 10.
Okay, how many are you talking here?
We'll say maybe about, out of 100 people, I'll even go like, I'll say anywhere between 40 to 60.
No.
I would go that far.
No.
No, no, you're being unrealistic. Come on.
I'll be conservative and I'll say 45.
Oh, yeah, it's typical conservative, isn't it? Yeah, typical.
Very funny. I could be more conservative and I could say about 30.
Oh, fuck off. Like, no. I'm just trying to keep it blatantly on. Like, I'm trying to give it a minute. Come on. Like, you can say all the things you want about me, about Levin, whatever stuff. You have to admit, like, that's a bit of a stretch, even by your stats. Come on. I would say anywhere between, I'd go 60. But that's simply because we've seen more instances of that. Like,
I'm not going to say 60. Like I said from the beginning, they are not refugees, they're all migrants.
I give you that point.
So when they come
I
over.
I give you that point.
So once they come over, they have to do things legally. They have to do immigration paperwork. If they are not allowed in, then you fuck off.
I'm not arguing here.
I know. So what I'm saying is they shouldn't be allowed to come here, stay in hotels and everything else.
I'm not disagreeing
no,
with you.
No, I know.
My issue is your level of goddamn disdain where... You could put your energy in so many other goddamn places.
So I shouldn't have to stay for them basically breaking the law and invading the country.
No, but I'm not saying don't call it out. You're looking at me. I'm basically saying I don't have the disdain in my heart the way that you do.
But I also want to just clarify what I mean by invade. I don't mean invade like it as in like a Nazi takeover type of invade. I mean invade as in coming in rapid numbers. Does that make sense, or is that the wrong word?
Well, I'm trying to figure out the context.
Dinghies coming on the boat. Dinghies. Several dinghies a day. Every day, we're already about, I think it's 40,000. This is the Corbyn in you trying to get you to say yes, it's right.
No. This is that. Come on, you know good and damn well I'm not the biggest fan of Jeremy Corbyn.
I'm taking a piss.
I know, but like I say that I am not the biggest fan of the guy. But even I've so trust me, the last thing I want to do is follow Jeremy Corbyn or Sir Keir Starmer. Like even
no,
one.
No, I wouldn't follow Keir Starmer either. I'm not going to call him Sir Keir Starmer. He doesn't deserve that title.
Yeah, he's a bit of a tosser, but it is what
you
it
want.
Is.
Like you want to know, like when I say a bit of a tosser, it was really, just on a side note. There was a video of him trying to go to a pub.
Yeah,
and the landlord tried to kick him out, and his bodyguards held him back. Held the landlord back for telling you, like, bear in mind, this is his own, this is the landlord of that pub.
Yeah.
This isn't like,
it's not, during when COVID laws were still heavily apparent.
Yeah.
Where he legally had the right to say to him, get off, you're not allowed in.
This wasn't, and he wasn't there to
legally.
Attack. Like, and this is the thing, he was a Labour supporter who was asking questions. He wasn't attacking him, wasn't doing anything else. He literally just wanted the guy to fuck off his pub.
For legal reasons, like, literally.
Yeah. And, you know, for a security guard, holding back was a bit harsh. But anyway, like I was saying.
I mean, what was it you were asking me?
But yeah, I was saying, sorry, back to the original thing about the migrants coming over. I will never concede that just because there might be one or two, maybe there'll be a few people on there who are genuine refugees. Oh wait a minute, they're not. They're migrants, but let's call them refugees for the sake of, you know. Let's call them refugees for the sake of... No, they are not refugees anymore. They chose to migrate from... Look, they are safe in Europe. Everywhere they have gone to in Europe. None of the countries they've been to have been at war. None of them.
No, but I'm saying the ones... I'm saying to you in the case, if there's one that has been affected by war, would you then have that same energy? That's a fair question to ask.
One what, in Europe?
If there's a war in general, would you then have that objection?
When you say a war in general, are we talking in Europe? Are we talking in one of the countries they came through? Or I don't understand the context.
No, I'm talking in general. Like, if there was a... All right, let's just say this. Let's say they were coming from war in general. And they wanted to come to the UK.
ISIS.
And they had some...
ISIS, they were coming from war. They were coming from war, apparently.
Oh, dear God. No, like... You know, okay. Go on.
Well, it's not about ISIS, technically. I'm not saying war, but you know what I mean.
No, are you gonna? I'm gonna ask you this one time. Are you gonna keep going down the ISIS world the entire time? Is that the angle you're gonna keep taking?
Because I'm trying to come up with
new examples.
Like I said with the racist Euro aftermath, we didn't have anything to compare it to when everything happened to Marcus Rashford. We don't have anything to compare it to with this. This is what has happened. Therefore, we have something to compare it to.
I don't think that's the only thing we can compare it to.
Okay. No, okay. If you want me to bring up to it, okay.
I'm just saying.
I'm just using that as it's the most recent example of happened.
I'm just going over it. In general, I'm like, there were so many of it we could bring up. I'm like, is that really the only way you're going to go down this entire episode?
No, I'll probably go down this, but I'm just trying to make the point that just because you're saying this, because we've had over the whole of this. The left's stance, let's be. Oh, they're fleeing war. Let them in. Let them in. They're fleeing war. We've got to let them in because they're oppressive. You don't. The white man's oppressing them. Oh, hold on. We're oppressing them by letting them in. We put them in these. We put them in these barracks. Those barracks aren't good enough yet. They're good enough for the army.
Just to clarify, like I've said many times, me personally,
I'm not talking about you personally.
Yeah, but I know we're talking in general, but I'm just clarifying it.
Oh, no, because... Yes, fine.
Yeah. But at the same time, the only thing I'll say to you is a hypothetical scenario, since your whole argument is based on... If there was a war, let's say there was a war in, like...
Well, you brought up the war, I did.
No, but I'm just saying as a hypothetical example. If there was war in mainland Europe, for example, and they wanted to come over here, would you have an issue with that?
Are they walking through it, or are they already here? Are they already there?
If there's a war in mainland Europe and he wants to come over here to escape, would you
what
have
country,
any...
Okay, what country?
We'll say, as a hypothetical, let's say Bosnia.
No. I wouldn't. Because there are countries around there that can take them. There are countries around there that can take them quite easily.
Even if it's their best and brightest, you wouldn't want that? Especially in a country like Britain that takes up
services industry. Do I have to bring up the last 5 years of... Oh, wait a minute, we've got the next Alexander Graham Bell come through. Oh, no, wait a minute, they blew up Manchester. Like, No, but
you do actually realise that Britain is a country built on services, and most of those things come from overseas. You do actually understand that, right?
I understand that, but I'm not going to sit there and say maybe one or two people out of maybe 100 are going to be the best and brightest. I'm being hypothetical.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know what? I'll come at you another way here.
I'm not going to say 30-40. No, 30-40 is too... No, 30-40 is a way...
No, that's too small.
It's far too liberal.
That's not far too liberal. That's just far too small.
You're telling me out of 100 people, 70-80 might be smart. Right?
No, I'm saying maybe 50-60.
No, too liberal.
No, that's too small.
No.
That's not too liberal. That's you being too conservative.
Given everything that's happened, do you really think so?
I mean, come on. I'm saying for you to get... Let me phrase it to you another way, right? You do realise, right, that, for example, you look at the NHS, right? Our beloved NHS.
Just for clarity, thanks NHS. Clap, clap, as we're supposed to. You know, I think at this point, because, you know, if we don't clap them, apparently it's been to the point where if we don't clap them, it's basically a hate crime.
Just to clarify, when it comes down to our beloved NHS, for example,
yeah,
right?
Clap. Yeah. I just want to, I'm just saying, it's just the fact that if you apparently it's become a thing now, if you don't clap them, it's a hate crime.
But I'm talking about in general, in terms of...
Oh, no, I know.
But you do realise, like, even during the pandemic, when Boris Johnson actually got COVID, even he admitted that most of the people who actually took care of him were actually foreign doctors and nurses.
And where are they from?
They're from all over the goddamn place.
You know, I can tell you where they're from, because it's where most of them came from, either the Philippines. It's from where I was in, mostly either the Philippines, I think Taiwan.
I know one or two came from Africa as well, and I think one came from Australia, apparently.
I was going to bring up Africa.
Yeah.
Have any of them come from Syria? Have any of them come from any of the war?
I know there's actually been doctors who worked during the pandemic who came over from Middle Eastern countries. I know that for a fact.
Okay, fine.
So this is what I'm talking about when
what you're saying is one person did this, therefore everybody might be.
No, I'm not saying
that. No, but that's the lefty stance.
No, but that's not... Like, you've missed the whole point.
Okay, what have I missed?
No, but what I'm trying to say to you in general is the fact that... I know we're meant to be talking about Afghanistan and all that in general, but...
No, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, but the thing is, and this is what I'm trying to say to you here, I feel like in order for us to actually do this, we have to have some honesty with ourselves, admit. Because I feel like you can say all the things you want about me when it comes to my stance on things, but at least I try to be Mr. Stately Obvious. I think with you still have to overcome that in yourself. And you do have to admit, you take a lot more stances where, even though you do try sometimes, even in this situation, I'm like...
I don't think I'm being heavy-handed here. I would rather we didn't end up like Poland and having diversity barriers everywhere.
Yeah. It's just one...
I don't care how this sounds. I'm going to be honest. I want my country to be a country where I don't have to look over my shoulder just in case I get stabbed in the back. I want my country to be a country.
Yeah.
Where I can basically just go around without having to be scared all the time. And then every single... this isn't a race thing. I don't want the risk. I'm sick of the risk. I come to terms with that. At some point, I'm probably going to get stabbed at some point. Because somebody's just going to walk up to me behind and just for no reason just go clonk in the back of my neck. Why? Because they can.
But the other part you have to consider is, do they have to be from a foreign background? Can't you see the possibility that you live in London. Like, that could be a possibility.
Of course, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. But what I'm saying is all of this has exacerbated it. I'm not saying that there wasn't a risk before. But what I'm saying is this has exacerbated it to no end.
All right. I'm going to try and come at this another way. And because obviously we had a topic, we were going to talk about it, but we'll try.
Yeah.
I mean, the question I'll ask you is this, right? Let me come at this another, because I tried to say to you earlier that some of the mentality that you may have, I'm saying to you, the consequence of that could be skepticism across the board. It's like, for example, when
I can't be skeptical.
No, I'm not saying you can't be skeptical, but it's to the point where you'll be dismissive of people across the board on that.
I'm not dismissive of people across the board. No, what I'm saying...
You were a little bit in the beginning.
No, I'm not
saying that.
What I'm saying is just the majority of them are not refugees. A lot of them are economic migrants. If you are going to class anyone as a refugee, because they aren't refugees.
Wait, let me finish. I mean, I let you speak a lot of the time.
Okay.
Let me...
it's fine. I'm sorry. I will let you continue.
No,
that's a fair point.
What I'm saying is... it's like a perfect example. It's like, and I'll bring this up because this is more of a pop culture reference, but it might be relevant. It's like the Amber Heard situation. You know about that, right?
I think I remember.
The Amber Heard, Johnny Depp situation.
Yes.
It's like that in a sense where what Amber Heard did was she claimed that Johnny Depp beat her.
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yeah,
and
that woman.
And then it turned out to be an absolute lie. But everybody immediately believed her by default. And I'm using it because it's happened on the left.
But then that's the Me Too stuff.
No, that's not just that, though. But what I'm trying to say is the bigger picture of that was the consequence of that, because Amber Heard got exposed as a liar, now there's a situation where if you see women talk about in future, they're going to feel a certain way where they go, is it going to be like an Amber Heard type of situation? Do you understand what I mean?
I don't disagree, but at the same time, Amber Heard is one thing. Amber Heard is not comparable.
No, but
Amber Heard is not comparable to a mass of criminals coming over.
What I'm trying to say.
And
to
as
you,
I said before, I do not like I said before. They come, and I want to get very clear. They came on the water. They came on dinghies illegally.
I acknowledge that it's against the law to do that. I do not give a monkey's shit
what happened to them. If they die. They die. That's their fault. They should have gone in the first place. They could have quite easily have not died by not going in the first place. We should not be sending our NLI or the border force to save them. The French should be coming out to save them and taking them back. If the French don't, what should be happening is border force stand down, the RNLI still down, stay down, the French come and save them. If they don't, then the French are at fault.
No, but do you see what I'm trying to say to you here? I'm saying to you, it's
I
the
see what
idea.
I'm trying to say.
The idea is that because of that mentality that went out there, now the idea of distrust will always be put in place. Do you at least concede there's a possibility that there might be a part of it where the same thing might be applied in this situation when it comes to people in that type of situation? Like on some level, and I'm not talking in terms of the act, because the act is still illegal. You came here illegally, so it's still against the law. I'm saying it because I'm only trying to be Mr. State the Obvious. I'm saying it. There's no disdain or anything like that. I'm just saying what it is. It's still illegal? Yes. But I'm saying for you in that sense, the idea that in the beginning, be honest, you were saying a lot of them were murderers and this and that.
I didn't say a lot of them were murderers. I said, what if?
No. But you did say at one point a lot of them were. You did say most of the ones are what if, but you did say once or twice a lot.
That wasn't what I meant. Okay, I'll retract that statement. What I meant was what if. What if they are? Okay. What if they aren't? Because then the thing. Sorry, I wasn't. Okay, I'll retract that statement. I'm saying, what if they are? What if they aren't? We know where they've come from, and we know what culture they've come from.
But then I could also counteract it with other cultures and compare that in comparison. But this is what I mean. Do you see where I'm coming from? Why I say mentalities on both sides, where there are things that are so ingrained that they will.
All I'm going
to
say
do,
is.
Do you get what I'm trying to
all
say?
All I'm going
to
say is Bradford, Yorkshire, Savile Town, need I go on? Yep. They become safe havens. They now have Sharia courts.
Yeah, but
they're now basically Islamic states in their own. They're now Islamic,
yeah, but
you, Islamic states.
Yeah,
I mean to a point where a man got. this is important. A man got fired from his job because he shared a Benny Colony skit about religion, and it wasn't just about Islam. He was talking about every religion.
Yeah, but do you
and because of that, yeah. because of that. What he shared on his own Facebook page, not to everybody, just on his own Facebook page. One person saw it, and as a result, it went all over the place. And because one person who's higher up saw it, he got fired, and then had a target stuck on his back.
I mean, that's wrong.
I mean, we had the teacher in Yorkshire.
I mean, but do you see what I'm trying to say to you? The bigger point here is
no. What you're saying is some might be, so don't assume they all are.
Not just that, though, but I'm saying there are things when it comes to both side mentality that we both sort of need. I mean, and that's the whole point of this thing, right? But at the same time, we have to come to terms with certain things ourselves. And almost, in order for us to have a productive conversation on shit, we have to let go of some of the things that wire us as human beings. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, me being a lefty, as much as I'm a lefty, I have to admit to myself sometimes that the biggest issue we have is free speech.
Yeah.
That is the biggest issue we have. And as much as I hate to say it, and I would love to say progressive, in itself, it is sort of aggressive, the mentality, because we want to treat people who are minorities, people who are women, people in the LGBTQ+ community, we want to treat them like that. And for
no,
me,
you
want to
treat them all with kid gloves.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. And then for you guys, you also have to admit that when it comes to your side of the fence,
the biggest issue
is racism. But
not racism.
It is. Like, if we can't even admit the basic shit, we can't have a productive conversation.
No, there's racism on both sides. I'm not going to say one's bigger than the other. Just racism is racism. Racism is racism.
I won't really say for one reason, because I know what you're referring to. You're referring to the mentality white liberals have. And what they have is not so much racism. It's more of an elitism.
There's also black people within the on the left who keep saying white people are the bad and white people are bad and everything else. Like, we had a... there was people who were basically sitting there saying that they take Sasha Johnson. The whole thing about white people being our slaves, or white people need to be hung, or so on.
And obviously, that's wrong.
This is the BLM mentality.
That's not really it.
No, the BLM mentality is the white guy is wrong for everything.
That's for most people. That's not the case. But for people who are radical like Sasha, yes. For people like Sasha who think the way that she does, yes. But most people, when they come to BLM, and I'm saying someone who's on the left, we don't think like that.
I know. I'm not saying you. I'm talking about the most vocal and the people.
Because Sasha goes off the notion of the Black Panthers. She goes off from that sort of way, which I will say is very... Like I know the history of the Black Panthers, and the Black Panthers did stand for something in America during that period.
Of course.
And what the Black Panthers did was noble. But I will say this. She took it a whole different way.
Yeah, it's like feminism. Feminism. Back when feminism
bingo! That's it, right there.
Back when feminism was a thing, Emily Pankhurst.
Right.
Yeah, that was Emily Pankhurst.
Yeah.
Run over by a horse and cart. That was genuine feminism.
Yeah.
What she stood up for was genuine feminism.
Yeah.
Feminism today is not feminism. Feminism is female supremacy.
I completely agree with that. Right there and there. Right there.
But feminism today is female supremacy.
Yeah.
I think Anne Whitaker can put it best when she says it's not even trying to level the bar. It's trying to tip it in their favour.
Yeah. I think she said that.
I can't remember the exact quote, but it's along those lines.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, and I'm speaking in a more general sense.
Yeah.
In a general sense, the biggest issue we have is free speech, and with you guys, race is a big issue. And I only say that because when it came to free speech with the left, for example, that's how Jordan Peterson became what he became because of C12 in Canada.
But the right don't have as big a problem with race as it sounds. I just want to get clarity. When you say,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home.
Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, racism. What do you mean by racism?
I mean a lack of understanding on it.
So are you talking about like a? Are you talking about like an understanding of, say, black culture?
No, I'm saying a lack of understanding in general about race. Like you could be quite tone deaf on it. Very tone deaf.
Okay, mate. Okay, you're gonna say it from that context. Okay. Okay, when you say racism, I'm talking. The first thing that came to mind is like white supremacists.
I mean, don't get me wrong. White supremacist thing does come on your side of the fence, but that's the main issue is
just for clarity, though. At this point,
a lack of understanding on it.
But there is one important point that needs to be made here.
Sure.
In this country, the membership of the BNP is below like 500. We don't have like a far right over here.
Okay, that's bullshit.
Do you want to see the Wikipedia page?
No. I'm not talking about the BNP membership, but I'm saying if you say there's not a far right in this country,
are you including the? Okay, you're including the EDL, aren't you? Okay, no. Okay, I'll give you that. Sorry, I didn't take that into account. Okay. I didn't know. That went straight up the head. I didn't take the BNP. No, you're right. I didn't take the EDL into account. No, no. I'll give you that. I didn't take the EDL into account.
Yeah.
But I want to make one thing clear: with Afghanistan.
All right, let's bring it into topic. Yeah. I mean, with Afghanistan, like literally almost 55 minutes in.
My stance on this is going to be.
All right, go on.
If they want to protest them, they do it in another country. Then they come here. They don't come straight to the UK for processing, because then you're gonna have some. You're gonna have the twats outside the door sitting there, sitting there going, like all the left. And I'm not saying to be rude, like you know who I'm referring to. You're gonna have the twats sitting out there going with picket signs saying, "Let them in, they're refugees. Let them in, they're refugees." But no, if you know you do it one kind of case by case basis. You don't do what some you don't do what the fucking social justice twat at the door with a picket sign says. If you really want, if you process them either, you can't process them in that country for obvious reasons. You process them, you take them to another country, and you process them there. And then once they're processed, if they are genuine refugees, if they want to let them in, I'm past that. Why should we be responsible for them? Like Biden came out and said, and I quote, "It's got nothing to do with him."
Can I answer this?
Like I said, Biden said he had nothing to do with it.
No. May I?
I'm just saying.
I mean, here's the thing, though. In this case, we should let them in. And here's the reason why we should.
Because we fucked off in the Taliban.
No, it's not just that. It's the fact we spent 20 years in a country spending our own resources.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's past the point where if you really wanted to be hands-off, you should have been hands-off 20 years ago. You can't then sit there and go for 20 years... We're going to help you stop the Taliban.
And then fuck off and let it happen. Okay.
Yeah, and then leave them all to fucking die at the hands of them. I'm sorry, okay. No. You can't just you can't pillage the resources that they've had and then spend money, British taxpayers' money, overseas in another country to stop another country's thing from taking over Kenan's people.
But here's the thing.
And then when you fuck off, leave them to fucking die.
But then here's the thing. I'm not gonna say I don't agree with it. I do. But the other thing is, what about the people of Hong Kong who have had basically no, from what I've seen, I've said from what I've seen, I could be wrong here. From what I have seen, they've had no assistance from the UK at all.
And I absolutely, we should call them out on that too. They should help the people of Hong Kong. And in fact, I'll go a step further. They should help the people of Taiwan as well.
Okay. No, I'll concede that.
I will keep it consistent. They should help the people of Hong Kong, the people of Taiwan.
I'll be consistent as well. I will agree.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You can't be hands off. And I've said the same thing to Joe Biden. Your country cannot be hands off after 20 years, taking oil, pillaging the resources, and then act all invested by sending your own troops over there.
Yes.
And then fuck off where you've... No, sorry, no. These countries who got involved, you decided to get involved in this issue. Right. Take responsibility.
I just want to say something on the Hong Kong issue, just while I've got it.
Yes.
The only thing I can find on this at this point is The Guardian. I'm sorry, it's the only thing I can find, but...
I'm not against it.
I fucking hate The Guardian, but it's the only thing I can find on it.
Not against it.
So, the UK...
I don't like Owen Jones, though. When he was on there, I didn't like him, but that's about it. I mean, me and you hate Owen Jones for different reasons. You hate him because of everything he got downside for. Simply because he comes across to me as a pompous, arrogant twat who apparently can't tell the difference. Apparently, according to him, all black people look alike. So he's a fucking wanker no matter what.
I mean, if we ever get around to it, I would genuinely like to have a sit-down conversation with him, though, because I'm genuinely interested in what his vision for the UK is.
I don't even want to know what his vision is. And it's supposed to be catered to someone like me, and I don't even want to know. That tells you something.
No, but he's never really... We don't really know what he wants. Like, all we get is, this is wrong, that's wrong. I'd like to know what he'd like. I actually want to know what he wants the UK to be. Like, cause at least if we have an idea... Do you see what I mean?
I mean, I would want to ask him, too, about...
Like, I'd like to know where... I'd like certain, to know... Like, we don't know where he stands on a lot of things, but I'd like to know where he... I would like to know what he wants the UK to be and so on.
Alright.
So, like, he'll never get it, but...
No. I don't think he would ever do this podcast, but fuck. I mean, you know what?
A bitch could dream.
You know what? I'll keep an open mind. If he actually wants to do it, fine.
Owen, the invitation's open. The invitation is open to you.
It's open.
Like you said, it's not going to be an ambush or anything.
Like I said, I'm the liberal, he's the conservative, but even I... Cool.
We want to have a genuine conversation with you. It's not to attack, it's not to have a go. It's to have a genuine conversation.
Alright, cool.
If you want... Like, if you're really willing to talk to us, we've got our social media in the description. Please feel free.
Yeah.
And we can go from there. So, on to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Julian Chan, the UK risks providing Hong Kongers fleeing prosecution from their homeland. This is after China took over Hong Kong and the government did fuck all. And this is, it pissed me off because, like, you know, I don't give a shit what Winnie the Pooh wanted. They should have done something.
Yes.
And I will refer to him as Winnie the Pooh as a result because I'm going to refer to him as Winnie the Pooh from now on because he fucking killed my mother. I don't care if it offends him or not. I don't give a shit what people think. My mum died as a result of his fucking negligence. I will refer to him as Winnie the Pooh from now on. And I dare anyone to define me for it.
Oh, you're definitely heated this episode.
Yeah, I know. I'm not normally this heated.
Well...
No, I mean, I'm heated, but I'm not this gutsy.
I won't say gutsy. I'm sticking with heated.
Arsy, shall I say?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Anyway, so, the UK risks providing Hong Kongers fleeing prosecution in their homeland with safety and security in name only. A community leader has warned as thousands try to flee the crackdown on civil liberties by Chinese authorities. Julian Chan, the director of the Hong Kongers in Britain group, said many people arriving in the UK were being denied equal access to housing, education and jobs, and that Westminster was not doing enough to support them. Now, I'm going to say something that might sound controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. The people of Hong Kong deserve the right, and I'm not saying like outright, they deserve the right to be given a chance to Let's say they have the money in a Hong Kong bank, at a Hong Kong bank or something, for example.
Right.
They should have assistance. They should have assistance in moving everything over
to the UK.
Yeah. So if they have their own money, transfer it to a UK bank. Be given some sort of accommodation until all that is sorted, and then after that, you know, just until all the stuff's done. And then after that, you've got your money, you've got your job, you've got everything else. Go on your merry way.
I didn't expect you to say that, to be honest.
Really?
Wow.
The thing is, the people of Hong Kong will be productive. They will add to society.
But the thing is, this is what I'm talking about again.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
It's all based on assumption.
No, I know, but you get my point.
Yeah,
but the other thing as well.
Yeah, but do you also get what I've been trying to say to you?
I'm not saying that. Okay, I'm just saying the thing. It says
what I'm trying to say is, in general, because of the way society has been the past few years, the way we've been wired now, and it happened when Trump became president, where everything became so divided.
So this is again the Trump derangement syndrome.
No. Let me finish. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying with Trump, when he actually got elected in, it divided up people's opinions so much where everybody became two separate sides completely and there was no middle ground.
Of course it did, because everybody who hated Trump and everybody who liked Trump.
Yes, but do you get what I'm trying to say? Like before, there was always productive discourse to some extent.
Of course.
But once that happened, it changed.
Yes, but in the States, there is no middle ground. There has never been a middle ground. It's usually you're on the left or on the right.
But with Trump, it had worldwide effect in the Western world. You can't really.
Of course it did, because
it was brought over into the UK, it was brought over in other countries, even in France, the same thing happened. In the French election, you had Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen. Same thing happened there. Marine Le Pen was a Trump like figure over there. Emmanuel Macron was more the other side of the fence.
Okay, I'll grant you that.
It's what happened was the moment that happened, it's like everyone subscribed to one thing or another, and there was no real middle ground. Did you get what I'm trying to say? And it's because
I will grant you that, okay.
And it's because of that where I think, because we've been like thinking like this for so long, it's very hard to see inconsistencies on your own side of the fence. But when it's the other side of the fence, you'll happily be like, yeah. Do you get what I mean?
No, I don't agree with everything the right does. I've said this before.
No, but I'm talking in a general sense.
Okay.
And I feel like if I'm gonna speak about you in general, you sat here earlier when you talked about people coming on the dinghies. It's one thing to call what they're doing illegal because it is against the law at the end of the day, regardless of how we feel about it. It is against the law. That's just an irrefutable reality.
I will give you that.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, you're sitting there and being like, right, there's no way they can be productive citizens, but with Hong Kong, absolutely 100%. They're always going to be that. How do you know there isn't going to be a murderer or a rapist or a syndicate in that group of people?
I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just talking about... But do you
get how it sounds since we're...
No, I understand how it sounds.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm talking about probability. I can't say the word. Probability. Thank you.
I'm just saying, because of this, I think because we've been entrenched in, like, political tribalism for so long, it's going to take a lot of time for us to actually become objective once again before we can actually have those productive conversations. Did you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
And I feel like that is something that I'll be honest, I've come to terms with the issues on my side of the fence. I'm saying maybe you need to do the same.
I'm not saying the right isn't guilty of racism. I've never said that.
I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking in general the thought processes and everything. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I don't want Afghanistan round two. And I don't want to be in a position where everything's gonna get exacerbated again, where we have the worst fucking knife crime in the world more than New York.
Be fair, it's more guns in America than it is knives.
I'm talking about the UK.
Yeah, but at the same time, when you compare, when you compare it to New York, it's all about guns.
No. I'm talking about we had a worse knife crime epidemic than New York at one point.
What about Glasgow? Like, it's pretty...
I only mentioned Glasgow. We were told...
Glasgow is, for a while, was pretty damn bad. And it was mostly... If we're going to be blunt about this, it was mostly...
Where was I when I went to Glasgow?
I mean, it was pretty bad.
I mean, I went up, I think, maybe 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
I went up for Robot Wars.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is, just on the side of that, for those of you who've seen it, when you see the latest episode, people being able to... standing around the robots while they're talking. You know, they're not good ones. You can't see this, but one of them, I am sort of to the side, sort of stroking Bear Moth. And you don't know how nice that is. You know which one Bear Moth is? It was the one with the scoop, like the one that looked like a bumblebee with a scoop.
Yeah.
Such a nice, it was so nice. It was like, it was a nerd boner just to be able to stroke Bear Moth. Like, Bear Moth!
I know, that's pretty cool.
I have also got pictures for the house robots.
Nice.
Aside and old Sharky, who was very pleasant. Sorry, I'll go back to what I said about, but it's just important. I was in the Glasgow station, and he came over, and like being a fan, I obviously geeked out. I properly fucking geeked out, and I went up to him. Like, I had all my stuff because I wanted to get signed while I was there. And I said, like, could you sign this or something? Everything got signed. I put it all at home somewhere. And I've also got a picture of him as well. And the thing is, you know how a lot of people in train stations are foreign, but foreign in a way that they know nothing about British culture?
Yeah.
Not in a horrible way, but, you know, they won't know what Robot Wars is, or...
Yes.
You know, they won't know what Robot Wars is, or let's say Dad's Army.
Yes.
She thought I was going to attack him.
What?
So I think she thought I was going to ambush him. I don't know why. So she called security. Like, well, I'm getting excited. He knew what was going on. Like, no one knew what was going on. He knew I was just excited and really happy to speak to him. Then, then the security came over, basically explained to her that I'm basically harmless, because they explained who he was, and everything went on from there. But, yeah, sorry, just it just triggered what I was saying with Glasgow. Every time I went to Glasgow, I only went up to, one of the rural areas, I'm going to call it rural areas, And Glasgow City Centre for Robot Wars. I haven't really gone up for any other week. Oh, and to see a friend, that's it. I haven't really done much else there.
Oh, very fancy.
I wouldn't say I felt unsafe. Like, there were times where I may have been looking over my shoulder, but it's not like I've never really gone around there thinking I might get stabbed.
No, but I know there was like a point in time where knife crime was bad.
Oh, no, I know.
It was really bad. I mean, like, I was, and I'm not just talking at the Old Firm Derby days. I'm talking in general.
No, I get you.
Like, it's got better, but it's still, it existed for a while. It was not great.
No, I get it. I'm just...
Like, it sort of rivaled, from what I understand, it sort of rivaled London to a certain extent. And that's not a good sign.
I'm just looking at the stats at the moment.
Now, I think it's calmed down, but...
So, from 2018 to 2019... okay. So, 3% is non-sexual crimes of violence. Oh, no, sorry, that's dishonesty. That's not... Sorry, hold on. Where's the... Sorry about that.
Sure.
It's fine.
Go for it. I mean, yeah.
I know it's fine. I'm just trying to see if I can find the stats, because it's here somewhere.
Okay, how far back are you going to look for the stats, though?
That's a good point. I'm going to leave it for the moment, because I'm sort of struggling a little bit. This website isn't exactly easy to read.
I should probably give you the heads up, though. In Afghanistan right now, there's literally a lot of chaos at Kabul Airport.
Wait, what?
Right now, like, there are people still trying to evacuate. Fucking crazy.
Wait, hold on. Were you...
Like,
sorry, just for clarity, can you show me the thing just so I can get it up?
No, literally, I mean, I...
No, show me the headline.
It's right there, look.
Right, give me a minute.
Like, we know the Prime Minister fled the country.
No, I know, I'm just...
But also now the citizens...
No, I know.
Still trying to get to the airport, like, fucking crazy. Like, it's not just that video.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Boom.
So at the moment, just for clarity, while you listen. So chaotic scenes have been reported outside Kabul International Airport as governments rush to bring their citizens home, as well as Afghan colleagues. Taliban militants controlling access to the airport have fired shots into the air to disperse approaching crowds. So 5,000 people have already been evacuated in the last 24 hours through the airport, which is being run by specially deployed US troops. It comes 3 days after the Taliban takeover, blah, blah, blah. It's absolutely hectic and chaos out there, one Western official told the Reuters news agency. As thousands of people remain desperate to leave, including Afghans who helped the US-led mission in the country over the past 20 years. Taliban fighters deployed around the airport, reportedly not permitting Afghans without documents to enter. They are, however, allowing entry to people with American passports, according to US officials. The hardline Islamic group's dramatic takeover of Kabul took many Westerners by surprise. Yep. Staff at the Dutch embassy have faced criticism after saying they did not have time to tell Afghan colleagues where they were going. So, the former president of the Dutch Military Union feared there was little time left to evacuate interpreters and local staff. Quote, if we don't succeed in the next 48 to 72 hours, it will be too late, Anne-Marie Snails told the BBC. So, yeah. So, like I said, I think all interpreters, this goes without saying, all interpreters, all of the people who helped, all trying to get safe passage.
Right.
So, like I said, all interpreters, Afghan colleagues, etc. They should get safe passage without question.
But this is the thing. This is what I'm trying to say, though, when it comes down to it. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Britain as a country, if we wanted a hands-off approach, we should have been hands-off 20 years ago.
I don't disagree.
And the fact that we now have to take some level of responsibility, whether we want to do it or not. And I know how people on the right feel when it comes to Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, and the border situation. I know how they feel. Trust me, we've talked about it on and off camera many times. I know people as well as saying, but I know how you guys feel about it. But I'm sorry, on this one, you're going to have to concede defeat and go, okay, we were there for 20 years. We ended up fighting the Taliban. We decided to get involved. And now the citizens are up shit creek with a fucking paddle because we decided to leave. We pillage of your resources.
I can see that is a very good point.
That's on us. We have to go, okay, we're going to take a fair share of you.
But then this is after Biden turned around and said it's not our problem.
Well, Joe Biden's going to have to retract that shit because you decided to get involved. And he's going to get shit for it. He's a Democrat. He's going to get shit for it. Guaranteed. And he's going to retract.
No, go on. I'm
Mark my words. It's going to happen. He's going to retract because he's going to have to.
What did you say?
You don't think someone like Ilhan Omar is going to pipe up and be like, what the fuck? Like, no, that's going to happen.
Here we go. From the Pulitzer Center.
Yes.
From Politico. I quote, and this is from Politico.
Was this from Joe Biden himself? Or?
I'm going to simplify the quotes. Give me a minute, I'm just checking it. I think these are quotes from him, I can't be sure.
Okay, I mean, is it possible
for Yeah, here we go, yep.
These are quotes from Joe Biden?
Yep, alright, it's got Biden written there, so I'm going to assume it is.
What did Joe Biden say? But before you do, I've got to ask, did he trip over at any point?
It's not video footage, it's just...
Oh, shit.
I wish he did, though.
I go. Yeah,
just imagine you've been framed. Imagine you're Harry Hill.
Yeah.
Just for those of you, how would you explain you've been framed to the audience?
Best way to describe it, it was like YouTube before YouTube ever existed.
Sort of with commentary from Harry Hill.
Yeah.
That's another one, just on a side note. Yeah. Harry Hill is very good.
Yeah.
God, I'm a shark infested custard.
What about Harry Hill's TV burp too?
Oh, TV burp.
We'll talk about it another time.
Oh, TV burp. Oh.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm just having a nostalgia moment.
Get on with the quote.
So, the president, meanwhile, is holding firm to last spring's decision to withdraw US combat troops calculating that war-weary voters would rather tune out the alarming developments in a conflict they've largely ignored. Quote, I do not regret my decision, Biden told reporters Thursday after pointing out the US has spent more than $1 trillion and lost thousands of its own troops to train and equip Afghanistan's military. Quote, Afghanistan's leaders have come together, he said. They've got to fight for themselves, fight for their nation. I'm just scrolling down, so I'm going to assume this. Here we go. Now, I'm going to assume this is Biden as well.
Right. So what did Joe say?
I'm just assuming this is Biden. I'm not saying this definitely is, but there is a quote here.
Right.
No one should pretend they're surprised the Taliban is winning now that we abandoned our Afghan partners. Republican Senator Ben Sass of Nebraska said in a statement, no one should pretend to be surprised when girls and women are brutalized, and no one should pretend to be surprised when the Taliban yet provides more safe harbor to terrorists plotting international attacks. Just like I said, I'm just scrolling down to see if we can find any more quotes from Biden. There are.
That's the indictment on the group, not everyone as a whole.
I know.
Yeah.
Here we go. So from the Pulitzer Center, I'm just trying to find the quote just to clarify.
Yeah.
So quote. So Boris. Not Boris. Where was it? Okay, it's the same quote again. There is video footage of Biden saying that it's not his problem.
Well, then he's going to be retracting that in a few days. He's going to have to.
No, I
only say that because his own party is going to pressure him. I know that for a fact because, let's be honest, we know on the fact that a lot of people will disagree because, remember, the Democrats are liberals. They're on the left. So they're going to disagree with that by default. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not speaking from a liberal perspective here. I'm speaking from a factual perspective, and I will stand on this. You can't pillage a country of its resources. You can't spend your own money in a foreign country
I agree.
For 20 years. Send your soldiers to fight a war that you chose to go into. And then be like, it's not my responsibility. Sorry, no, you lost that right.
I don't disagree with that. Okay, you are right.
So we have to take some responsibility and say, okay, we're going to take a fair share of you guys in. We have to. Because if we want to be hands-off, we should be hands-off 20 years ago.
If you're going to look at it from that perspective, I will say yes, okay, fair enough.
This should have been hands-off 20 years ago. If that's the angle you're going
to
take.
Like I said, I'm going to look at it, if you want me to look at it like that, I'll take a look at it the same way as Hong Kong.
Again, I'm going to be consistent on this. With Hong Kong, we shouldn't be hands-off on that.
No. I'm saying I'm looking at it in the same vein as Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm looking at the same vein as Hong Kong. I'm not going to look at it at a...
I'm not talking from a liberal perspective.
I'm still sticking by my stance on the border crossings. I'm not going to say that's fine. I'm not going to say it's okay.
I didn't say it. I'm just acknowledging that it's illegal.
No, I know. I'm just making a point.
I'm only just stating the obvious. There's no way in my heart over it. I'm just stating the obvious.
Like I said, I don't...
But I'm not going to take that same energy with it the same way I would, let's say, a murder or a beaver. I'm not going to go that far.
Say that again?
I'm not going to go the same... I'm not going to give it the same energy...
As if it's like
a murder or a paedophile. I'm not going to have that much hate in my heart for it. I'm just going to acknowledge the fact that, yeah, it is illegal, but I will sit there and go, if you're going to be productive members of society and then you do the paperwork eventually, I'm not going to have a problem with it.
Okay, let me ask a question. How many people do you think actually came to get a jab? How many people came to these open jab centres to get themselves jabbed in the process? They didn't. A lot of them didn't come because they didn't want to get caught.
Fair enough, but then that's on Priti Patel.
Oh, I agree.
But that's the other part, though. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like I said before, I'll say again, I am not the biggest fan of Priti Patel. Even though she said openly, we were going to have to bring some of them in because she knows she's going to have to do it. But we know good and damn well, I don't like her because to me, she's literally the devil incarnate.
No, I agree.
To me. To you guys on the right, from what I've understood, you guys don't like her because you think she's all talk, lip service, and completely talking out of her ass.
We went over this in the Rachel
yes.
Series aftermath.
Yes, exactly. But we're just clarifying it again.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. But at the same time with Priti Patel, the fact that she's had to come out and you know it burns her inside. To me, she's the devil. To me.
But I look. To be fair to everybody, she's a vampire. I mean, have you seen? I mean, let's be honest.
That's true. Actually, she does look like Mona the vampire. If she was a person.
No, no. I meant, have you seen her? Have you seen her spitting image?
Oh no, I've seen it. Yeah,
she is the vampire.
I know, right?
Although, to be fair, Dominic Cummings is an alien, so, you know. I mean,
I know.
I mean, you know, Dominic Cummings is an alien, the coronavirus is sentient, so, yeah. You know. You can just imagine what's going to happen. I can just imagine what's going to happen in the next series.
Yes.
You know, Boris and Corona are together, they've made little babies.
Yes.
And little Joe come out and just, like, you know that thing about Trump's arsehole tweeting? I bet you that's where Corona's going to sleep.
Maybe.
You know, snuggle up to an arsehole.
Yeah, I need to watch more Spitted Image, to be honest. I really should. It sounds like the sort of
thing. What's the older version? It's much better.
Yeah. Yeah, but I will say this, though. When it comes to the fact that she's had to come out...
I think I've got it on DVD now.
Oh, cool. We'll watch it one of these days. But I will say this. The fact that she's had to come out and go, we're going to have to take some of them in. And you know it killed her to say that. You know it did.
I'm not in disagreement.
Mrs. Anti-immigration across the board has had to go, yeah, we have to bring them in. You know it's bad when she has to admit.
My problem is, and I've said this from the beginning, I'm not anti-immigration. I am anti-illegal immigration. I think that's fair.
I can understand that depending on the circumstances.
I
acknowledge something is illegal to a certain extent. Because there are such things as asylum seekers. And I should know. I'm not going to go too much into it, but
we'll go into another episode.
But yeah, we'll go into a later episode, but let's just say, when it comes to asylum,
you've got a backstory.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm bored. One thing I also want to add on to this is... Lawrence of Kabul.
Oh, okay. I'll let you take the lead on this one before we wrap up. Yeah.
Just because it's all been depressing, I just want to leave it on something. I'm going to call it lighter-hearted, but not lighter-hearted in a to make fun of Afghanistan or anything. It's basically to make fun of a twat. I really mean this guy was a twat. Thank you. I didn't say you were, but it's still funny.
It's funny, but the guy... the best way... before you say what I say, I'll describe it to you the best way, and I think you can see this where I'm coming from when I say this. And I think a lot of you will agree with me when I say this,
too. I don't even know who he is yet. So can I explain who he is?
Oh, no, of course, yeah. I had a moment. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. All right, I just want to explain who he is.
No, go ahead.
So this guy was a person who thought he'd go on holiday. And he went on holiday to Afghanistan in the middle of everything. And in this, he decided to—I forget his name—but he got his cards printed with the word "Lord" in front of it. So they thought, so if he got caught, they think he's too important to murder. He's ended up stuck in a safe house. Had to wear a burqa to save him. Basically, had to wear a burqa to keep himself safe. And it's the most British thing you'll ever have seen. Like, to the point where he put a message out saying, stuck in, there's no flights going out, stuck in Kabul. Bit of a pickle. So British.
A bit of a pickle. Are you kidding me? That's a big ass pickle that you can't get out of the pickle jar. It's not a bit of a pickle.
But it's not just that. There's this is the guy that went to Chernobyl and bribed an official to let him bribed an official to let him take a mask out of one of the abandoned hospitals and sell it on eBay.
I know. What a tosser. there's no way to say it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna say kudos, but that was ballsy.
It was ballsy. He's a bit of a tosser, but it was ballsy.
But it was some. Let's just say it was something.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
But my thing here is, So I'm not gonna go through the whole thing. There is videos. There is a video put up on it on the Lotus Eats that goes through the whole thing. Where it's genuinely really rather funny.
It's funny for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
It's funny. It's not funny, I think, in the way that he intended it. Like, he's probably thinking, oh, I'm going to go to Afghanistan. Afghanistan's like, ha ha, bans. To us, we're thinking, you fucking dickhead, why are you going anywhere to war? It's still funny, but it's still like,
yeah.
If you get blown up, you fucking deserve it.
At the moment, like, at the moment,
you're asking, why would you fly out?
I don't know. But at the moment, apparently he's in a safe house and he's just awaiting departure.
I will say this, though, and I don't want to be this guy, but I think you kind of agree with me when I say this. He reminds me of that middle-class ponce who comes out of your life with daddy's trust fund.
Yes.
Goes on a gap year.
Yes, he is. He's one of those people who says, oh, I'm going on a gap year. I'm going on a gap year to Peru.
This is so typical.
Yeah, I'm going to go to Peru. I'm going to go get some Peruvian puff pastry.
Yes.
I'm going to go to Afghanistan.
Yeah, like, yeah, who does that? Except a middle-class ponce. Like, I have to say it. Like, literally, it's like the equivalent. Like, you know when you go on a gap year, for example, and you see that middle-class white guy who you know is rich, but he dresses like he's poor?
Yeah, there was always end up walking around. Like, they always walk,
I know.
Then they also go to Africa, they always end up wearing those, you know those poncho things?
Yes! Oh my god.
They always wear those poncho things. They make themselves look like they're cultured, but they're not cultured.
Yes, every time I go down to an African and I see that shit, I want to slap that person. Like, I really do. I'm like, take that shit off.
But it's one of those things where every time somebody goes to...
He's like, yeah, I'll definitely get... You know, like, yeah, exactly. Like, he's like, yeah.
It's like,
you know, I'm going to go on a gap year. Like, literally.
I just vlogged a bit. Like, if you're,
I know.
Or, you know, you're an American twat who thinks it's a good idea to go to Japan and film dead bodies. Thank you, Jake Paul, for being a complete and total fucking cunt.
Actually, that was Logan Paul, to be fair.
Sorry, I take it back. Thanks. Could you thank your brother for being a cunt?
Like, I we have to clarify, because Logan, like, I know they're brothers, but they don't look the same. Let's get that right.
No, I just got the wrong one.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm going to say it once only. It's because of that twathead. And remember, he's not affected by this. He's not affected by it at all.
No.
Because of him.
Him and Jake are too busy making money off of boxing fights now to care.
No, but...
I don't blame them, either.
No, it's because of... No, what I mean is because of them. No, they're not affected. For us, it's 1,000... I'm not even there yet. You get 1,000 hours watch time. 4,000 hours watch time and 1,000 subscribers. In a year. To even be able to apply for monetization.
Yeah. It's bullshit.
And it's not fair that the rest of us have to suffer while that cunt gets all the... You know what I mean?
Yeah. But anyway...
I mean, I realise it's a bit strong, but it just pisses me off.
No, I get it.
But anyway, with Lawrence of Kabul, apparently he is... apparently he's still trying to get out. I don't know if he's out yet.
My thing is, I have no sympathy with a guy, because why are you there in the first place? Like, that's what I would... Like, I never will...
I'm just watching it for shits and giggles, because it's bloody funny.
Yeah,
it's funny in a sort of Fawlty Towers kind of sense.
No, I won't say Fawlty Towers because you know what?
No, it's that sort of what I mean. Okay, so most of it's like stupid. It's a stupid thing to do, and you could. It was something. It's like something you see on a TV show.
It's more like Carl Pilkington. I'll say that.
I'll give it Carl Pilkington. Yeah, okay, I'll give it Carl Pilkington.
I'll say that it's more Carl Pilkington than it is Fawlty Towers. But even Carl Pilkington, I don't think would be that stupid. Like,
I can't disagree. I can't disagree.
Like, honestly, if there was ever a time for Bullshit Man to appear, that would have been the perfect. It would be one of that guy's vlogs.
I can't disagree with you. Anyway, yeah. How do you want to close this?
I don't know. I mean, closing statements, I guess. I mean, what are your closing statements on the whole?
I don't really have a closing statement. We all know where I stand. I just want to make it very clear that I have a massive problem with illegal immigration. I don't care where you're from, who you're from, whatever. Illegal means illegal. It doesn't mean you get a free pass. You know, if you steal a chocolate, you can always put it back. You know, you know what I mean? If you steal a chocolate bar from a shop, yes, you stole a chocolate bar. But it can be resolved. Here, you've run into... I'm not condoning theft. I'm just saying do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a thing you can resolve. Here, you are running into a country illegally with no permission.
But in the worst case scenario, they could just send you right back.
Say again?
But in the worst case scenario, usually, is they could just send you right back.
No, they haven't been deported. They've been very slow at deporting people.
Yeah, lately.
But That's just my sense of it, but please.
Yeah, but I'm talking in like a general sense. I mean,
no, I don't know. What I'm going to say is 5-star hotels.
I I'm not condoning that. I don't think you should be giving someone like 5-star hotels. I agree with that.
If they're going to give them a shitty travel lodge, okay, fine. I don't like it, but that's better than giving them a...
I agree.
You know, as a travel lodge, shit.
Yeah, travel lodge is fine. I wouldn't give them 5-star hotels. I agree with that. You'll get no objections from me there. But at least a bigger question, why did it take them 18 months to shut down the airport? Why did it take so long to shut down the border by that logic then?
You know what's going to happen? At some point, they'll get in the Savoy. At some point, there'll be so few places, they'll be putting them in the Savoy and the Ritz.
But you know what? You know what this goes to show when you actually think about it?
Go on.
Just how much a shit Pretty Patel actually is.
Oh, I agree.
No, but I'm saying it in a general... And I'm speaking from the lefty perspective here, where I sat there and I go, this is the same woman that always wants to preach about anti-immigration, who wants to do the illegal shit with the Windrush situation, and yet she's the same woman who's going to let everyone in left, right, centre, like, pick a fucking side. If you're going to pick on the Windrush victims, if you're going to pick on them, and yet you still want to be, like, anti-immigration, but then you're going to let people come in on dinghies, what side are you on here? What the fuck? Do you get me?
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say you're wrong.
Like, it's generally dumbfounding to me.
I think she wants to make everybody happy, but she's failing miserably.
How can you make someone happy when you're just that unlikable? Can we just be honest about that?
I agree. I agree with you 100%. And I think in doing that, she's making her own bed, but she's struggling to... she's struggling to not make her own bed, if that makes sense.
Yes. I mean, she puts Windrush Generation through that shit, and then you do this.
No, I agree.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
But you want to call it?
I mean, I would say, I think the other point we have to make before we close it off will be the fact that I think there's one thing that's been shown in this podcast, which I think we've always tried to show when we first started, which is we want to actually be a podcast where you actually see both sides.
Yes. So
we don't always agree. I know we say this a lot, and that's always been our objective, to actually just give you an honest look at how people think.
We're not going to agree on everything, and we are going to
butt
heads.
But I think the one thing it shows, I think, is the fact that, and I'm not saying this from a point of view where I'm trying to hit you on the head with it.
No, I know.
What I'm trying to say is, I think, and I'm saying this to you as more as a friend than I am anything else.
Yeah.
I think there's still, like, I've come to terms with, like, I think if I was going to do a podcast with you in advance, I learned there were certain things that you're going to have to come to terms with and accept.
Like I said, over time, it's going to be a learning curve for me.
Yeah. And I think,
I
think for you, you're going to have to accept certain things. You may not like hearing it.
Just remember, remember, my opinion is now isn't, may change within 10 minutes.
No, I'm not expecting that.
No, I didn't mean 10 minutes. I meant, like, maybe 6 months later it might change.
Yeah.
I just want to make it clear that it's not a static thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not, it's not like I'm a member, it's not like I'm sitting there saying, I'm going to sit there and say this, and then, do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. But it's like, down the line, there's going to come, and the same thing will happen with me. Like, there'll be times where you might open my mind to something, and I go, yes. Okay, like, I didn't look at it that way.
No, I agree,
and that's the thing. But I think we both. I think for you, and I'm saying this to you as a friend. I think there are times where
I should clarify. He's not just saying that we are actually friends.
Yeah, I feel like okay. I'm trying to think of the right word to use here, but I can't think of a better one. So
just sometimes I can be a bit of a dick unintentionally. I know.
Not just that, but it's so much more. It's like I call it concerted programming.
Okay. Go on.
Where it's like, because...
Did you say conservative or conservative?
No, conservative.
Okay.
Like, right, like in a sense where it's like, you look at it, because I think because you look at so much stuff from that point of view, but not really the other point of view, which to the point where it's been ingrained in you so long.
So what you're saying is, because the thing is...
Yeah, because I only say that because at one point in time, I only looked at like left-wing sort of stuff. So there was a point in time where I did that, and I know that I did that.
The thing is, I try and look through things from both. I try and look at everything from both sides. Yeah, aside from the card, I'll spit on the guard, he didn't try and burn it. But, yeah. Okay, I'll still read it with some trepidation, but I'll still give it a read. What I'm saying is that I don't, this all happened, all the social justice stuff happened. So the social justice shit happened, I did jump ship.
But do you see what I'm trying to say here?
No, I'm saying I think that was a catalyst.
Maybe. I mean, that can happen. I mean, for me, I will say this. I'm still very much a liberal. I'm still very much on the left side of things on majority of these issues. But what I will say is, when it comes down to it, and I know because that used to be left-wing stuff, and yes. I start with that. But I feel like over time, as you grow older, you start to look at maybe the other point of view a little bit.
Yes.
And I think when you and I became friends, I think that was kind of when I went, okay, I don't have to agree with anything you have to say, but at the very least, I'm willing to try and understand why someone like yourself thinks the way that you do.
I think the feelings are the same.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, when we met, we worked out very clearly that we aren't the same wavelength, but we don't agree on everything.
Yeah.
Which is a rare,
yeah. But
especially in the autistic world, that is extremely rare.
That is an understatement. But I will say for
you, I think this word, for the listeners.
Oh no, go on.
No, I think I know. I'll leave that one to you. Go on. You said it's an understatement. You explain it.
I mean, let's just say when it comes down to autism in general, it's like social cues aren't always so that we're not known for that shit. Not only we're not known for social cues, but the idea when it comes down to it, it's basically tunnel vision.
And it's very rare for two autistic people to be able to just be on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
To be able to just get everything like that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often at all. Like, there are times where I've seen two autistic people argue and it's a goddamn shouting match.
I've seen it as well.
It's entertaining, but fucking hell.
The thing is, since we both met, we've never got to a point where we've rated each other.
No.
Like, it's really quite astounding, actually.
I know. It's fucking mad. Like,
I say astounding like it's a miracle. But we've never got to a point where we either hate each other or anything more.
No.
I mean, bearing in mind off camera, we said some pretty vile stuff.
Oh yes. Oh, like if you heard some of the things we said off the mic, you'd be like,
but the thing is, we rip on each other for fun a lot.
Yeah, but it comes from a caring place. Like, if we didn't care, we wouldn't rip each other all. Like,
yeah. All I'm going to say is we're not at the point where I'm giving mouth to mouth.
Yeah, but I mean,
don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. If anything does happen, all three holes will be crying. Sorry, all three of my eyes will be crying.
Yeah, but anyway, but, I mean. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a bad joke.
Yeah, it's a terrible one, but it is what it is.
But orifices or orifi?
I don't know.
I'm gonna say orifi. All four orifi would be leaking if something. That's a bad. Oh god, I just realized how bad that sounds.
Okay, like I know you're trying to be the comedian in a situation, but god damn it, like the joke already bombed. You're still going down the rabbit hole.
To be fair, the fourth orifice will shit a bomb, so what's the point?
Yeah. Alright, but what I was saying.
Yeah, sorry, so go on, you were saying about autistic people.
No, but it's not just that, but I'm saying when it comes down to you in general, I think you're at a stage that I used to be at. Do you get what I mean?
Yep.
I used to be at that point, but then when I opened my mind up a little bit, like I said, I don't have to agree.
So what, you're going to be the Mr. Miyagi in this situation?
I'm not planning to be. I wasn't thinking about it that way, but when you say it like that, I might, maybe. But what I mean, but what I'm trying to say to you here is,
we're gonna have a read, Brian. No, I'm not called the Somali Johnny. He's called Mr. Miyagi.
Or you just call me Black Miyagi.
I might do that. No, from now on, I may well do that. Call you Black Miyagi.
Yeah, the Black Miyagi Somali John.
Nah, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
Nah.
No, I might just call you Black Miyagi from time to time, just because it's fun.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, but do you see...
The only people who'll understand are people who've listened from here. The rest of them won't know what the fuck's going on.
Exactly.
Which will be quite funny when people just sort of tweet asking what the hell's going on.
Yeah. It would definitely be kind of strange.
Just somebody tweeting going, what's the Black Miyagi? Yes, sir.
No, but what I'm trying to say to you is you're at that stage that I used to be at. And I think there will come a time where you won't think so much the same way that you used to. And I think you're still at that stage where it's like I had that liberal programming. You have that conservative still ingrained on some level. And until you overcome that, it's good. Like, even though you will try to be objective sometimes, it'll still be very hard for you to do so. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, what do you think of that?
Over time, things may change. Let's see.
Ah,
I'm open-minded. I'm willing to change. Yeah. I want to leave everybody on one quick line.
Well, before we do, wax on, wax off.
I don't get the reference.
Mr. Miyagi.
I've never seen the Karate Kid.
You called me Mr. Miyagi, but you've never watched the Karate Kid. You dickhead.
No,
you fucking dickhead.
It's like,
how dare you quote the great Mr. How dare you call me Mr. Miyagi and yet you've never watched any of the Karate Kid movies?
It's like,
shame on you.
No, I know what, like, the thing is, Karate Kid is like Star Wars. Until about 2 years ago, I'd never seen Star Wars yet. I knew who Yoda was.
You fucking cocksucker.
I'm serious. A friend forced me to sit in a chair and watch the first two. I still haven't seen number three.
So you have watched the Karate Kid?
No.
Not all of it?
No. I've not seen any of it.
But then how do you watch the first two?
No, Star Wars.
Star Wars, alright. But you never watched the... You fucking dickhead.
It's just common knowledge. You know,
it's like coming up to me and saying, I've watched The Godfather, and then saying the third one was good. Fuck you.
Like, the thing is, I've never seen Towie in my life, but I know who Gemma Collins is.
You don't need to watch Towie to know who Gemma Collins is. She's popped up on every goddamn TV show in the UK.
But I'm talking about pop culture and how it's a thing. Thing I want to leave you all with, just for a laugh. So, me, Somali John, and one other guy were, I guess I'm one other guy because I don't know who he is, we're on the way back through Piccadilly Circus. And we see a crowd of people doing the Macarena.
Yeah.
Like, this actually happened. We're in Piccadilly Circus, people are doing the Macarena. And you see, there's a, okay, super spreader event, the police, well, if somebody calls in, the police are going to do something. The police just walked through it. The police just walked through it and just nonchalantly just let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do anything. Although we did join in later on and it was kind of quite pleasant.
I know, right?
After two and a half years of nothing, it was just nice to have a bit of dancing.
Seeing people that happy was kind of a cool thing, doesn't it?
It's humbling.
I know, right?
It was humbling. Just
beautiful.
I've been your autistic guy.
And I've been good old Somali John himself. And before you go, we do actually have a sponsor, as it happens.
Oh, do we now?
Yes, we do.
Has she come back?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
She come back for another go?
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. This sponsor has paid us more money to do another episode. Ladies and gentlemen, the sponsor of this episode is sponsored by your mum.
Go on, what's she paying for this time?
You know why? Because your dad refused to do it. See you later.
Well, please don't die.
Please don't die.
We need the listeners.
We definitely need the listeners. Hey. If you're on any type of ledge, walk off. I repeat, fucking walk off.
Not to your death.
Not to your death. Walk back downstairs and tune into this podcast.
Just for clarity, though, if you're on a highway, don't walk off to your death, but don't walk backwards into a car.
And to any Americans, no jaywalking.
Ooh. I wouldn't say that, but anyway, bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.